It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, Daniel. How you doing there?
Mark. Doing well, and you?
Really good. I had some vacation time recently and getting
Fantastic.
Back to things.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all concerned in the news, though, lately about a lot of stories, famous people, and, of course, news stories, too, saying that the issue of suicide has come really strong into our country once again. Mm-hmm. On the rise, and we want to look at the subject of suicide this week, actually starting a two-part series. This week, kind of suicide and suicide prevention in general. Then next time will be one on teen suicide.
Teen suicide and social media, so you won't want to miss that one because there's a lot of people that are concerned about that. Well, you know, suicide has a long, long history, and I won't go into it all today, but there have been, suicide has been motivated by a number of different justifications, you know, romance, Romeo and Juliet, honor. There are cultures where suicide is preferable to
Japanese culture.
Yes,
yeah, big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, altruism. There are situations and accounts through history where someone has committed suicide in order to save the life of someone else. Some people even are, secular people even point to Christ as a kind of a suicide. Of course, it's entirely different than suicide. Then there is suicide to as an alternative to extended pain, and we have a lot of mercy killing and people who, I don't know if it's legal in all states, but I think it's legal in some states where people can, you know, they prefer to die rather than to suffer.
Assisted suicide.
Yeah. Preferable to some other form of death. We see martyrs who prefer to be executed rather than convert to some other religion or
that wouldn't be a suicide.
It wouldn't.
Though.
When they do the history of suicide, they include all these things in it. So it's kind of a broad brush.
Okay.
And the Jamestown massacre. Remember, maybe some of the people listening don't recall that, but where the people drank the Kool-Aid, which is where that term comes from. And they thought that they were obeying God. They were obeying, thought they were obeying a prophet. So these things, suicide is a long, long history, and for justified for many reasons. Today, though, in particularly in our culture, a lot of those things that I've just read off don't really pertain.
Something else is going on.
Yeah, something else is going on. So, you know, why do people commit suicide, and suicide in the sense that there's a concern about it and it's escalating? So suicide is fundamentally giving up. And I'm just trying to put myself in the place of someone who would commit suicide. I'm probably a pretty normal person, and the average person at some time in his or her life has had suicidal thoughts. They don't come around very often, maybe, and we obviously I haven't acted out on that, and there are reasons why I have not, and there are reasons reasons why other people have. But suicide is fundamentally giving up. Now, why do people give up? Why do they concede? Well, it's hopelessness. To put it simply, people concede a lot of ways. If you can imagine a person coming to the end of himself or herself and then finally thinking that suicide is the only way out, they're really conceding defeat in every area of life. The underlying commonality in all the suicide is an inability to hope in any other alternative. It's a concession that on the one hand, only suicide offers any kind of hope if there is hope, and if there's not hope, then death is the only thing that's bearable. So suicide has actually increased over the past decades in almost every age range for men and women alike. I think the one age range where it's not escalated the way that it has in others is 55 to 65, right around in that. Right around that late 50s, late 60s.
So we're both safe then.
We're both safe. So the age range that's the highest increase is generally from 14 to 20.
Which is what's alarming.
Right. And that age range has always been at high risk, and we're going to touch on that more next week. Countries with the lowest suicide rate, of course, as you can imagine, tend to be highly religious countries or areas of the world. If you were to look at a map of suicide rates, you would find the Catholic, predominantly Catholic areas would be low. And, of course, that's because it's a mortal sin. And and then the predominantly Islamic areas are very
low suicide.
Low. Of course, they're killing other people.
Yeah, or this, dying in a jihad or whatever.
Something like that, which, so they wouldn't consider that a...
I think that's a martyrdom in a
sense. Yes, it is. So why suicide is, in general, on the increase, again, is the increase in hopelessness. And that reflects kind of this continuing trend towards spiritual bankruptcy that we have seen through the history of mankind. So I think we'd probably see suicide escalating. Certainly, though, there are some things that have spurred its escalation. And I just think, now I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, but just kind of the pressure that's brought to bear in a society like our society, where, you know, we've done a number of shows on anger and the faces of anger and life perspectives. And it's this idea of pursuing value, control, and power through acquisition and achievement, the American dream. Which is becoming kind of pretty globalized. I heard somebody was talking to me about, well, it's a friend of mine who was a fireman and got one call where a man had hung himself. And the reason that he had hung himself was he had just lost his job. And he was a man from, he was an Asian man. So comes over here. This person gets into the tech field and doesn't have a lot of skills outside of that tech field. But the point is that it's just so all important to make a success of that. And then when you lose that one job and you look and again, you see no alternative of hope. And then he commits suicide. No alternative hope in conjunction also with that there's no further purpose in life out there. Obviously, a person who commits suicide, in a sense, you could say they've got all their baskets in, or all their marbles in one basket, and the hope is lost there. They don't have an alternative. Man is desperate as ever. We speak about the spiritual bankruptcy. Man has always been desperate, but we're running out of ideas. All of our humanistic philosophies have pretty much run their course. We have a situation, I say all of our marbles in one basket, bet it all and lose it all. What is it that mankind in general has let mankind in general down? Because that's really what we're talking about, that our hope, where we have our hope fixed, if that lets us down entirely. What is the hope that's dissipated for us, for mankind in general? The hope possibly of eternal youth. You see, there's a lot of emphasis on staying young, and when a lot of people kind of pass that threshold and they lose that hope, and that's enough reason for some to commit suicide. That wealth can buy meaning or at least joy, and so you see people of great wealth that commit suicide because they've
people who seems like they've got it all together and still commit suicide. That's a real puzzle.
Yeah, hope that, quote-unquote, love is all you need. And so you see a lot of people who commit suicide, or maybe it'd be a time to bring this up, is that, that of course, suicide is an anger turned toward yourself. But what if you have those same stressors and you turn anger towards someone else? So instead of harming yourself, you harm other people. Mankind... maybe the hope that mankind can create a utopia and mankind can be good without God. I think that loss of that hope has been the reason for a lot mm-hmm. of the deep depression and suicide, that man can pull himself up spiritually by his own bootstraps, that man can answer the riddle of life without God, that science can replace the need for God. Maybe a lot of these and maybe others, but you know, one thing for sure, that suicide is an indication that ultimate hope has been lost.
Mm-hmm. Which does seem to be a real earmark mm-hmm. of today's society.
Yeah,
yeah, trying to, I think you're saying here, spirituality, people can pull themselves by their own spiritual bootstraps. Yeah. That has shown itself to be mm-hmm. lacking. To say the least.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned yet, but and we'll mention a little later on, but this certainly is not just limited to non-believers. There are a lot of Christians mm-hmm. who commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that ultimate hope. But certainly God hasn't failed us, and so what has our hope been in? That's mm-hmm. a question we have to answer.
You think Christians who do that, they feel like they've somehow failed God?
I think
that's
they
one
do,
of the
sure.
reasons?
That,
so
that's
it's like
a,
an even more of a sense of pressure?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, they feel mm-hmm. that they... And, you know, three things that you and I talked about before the show that the hearer should bear in mind as we're talking through there. There are three things that kind of are always present in someone that's moving toward depression, and that is they tend to develop a tunnel vision. They have a perspective or a perception of things. For example, I've failed God, and it's a closed perception. It's very tunnel vision. No information is getting in, so mm-hmm. they've decided that perception is the truth. The second one is that they tend to isolate. They begin to isolate from mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. which is why that impression can't be changed or challenged. And then finally, of course, as we've mentioned, they've lost that ultimate, they've been disconnected from that ultimate hope.
Mm-hmm.
So those three things, you know, the tunnel vision, loss of that ultimate hope.
So if these things are going on in your own life or someone you love, you can sense these things going on. These are real indicators that they're on a fast track mm-hmm. to some problems if they don't get some help. We are going to discuss how to prevent suicide a little bit in the second half of the show here in a moment. But if people are struggling, that they... we're going to also talk about how depression is not necessarily an indicator of mm-hmm. suicide, and with that connection here in a moment, too. But people are struggling. People need help. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Have an office in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast and discussing the issue of suicide this week. Coming back here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, looking at the subject of suicide. And I think that's one of the first things when someone attempts suicide, people say this person is not of their sound mind. Something's going on. How does depression fit in with suicide? You say here depression is an indicator but not a cause of suicide.
Yeah, it's not a cause of suicide. Depression is just kind of like the... kind of the pot boiling. It's depression is before a person's given up. Depression could be a step toward that, but it's not a cause. It's sort of like a necessary link in that in the kind of the mental chain of mental exhaustion that leads to suicide, but it's mm-hmm. not a root cause. So you could ask the question, why do men and women get depressed? And we've talked about that a lot on the show. Basically, depression is a response to fear and shame. Fear, lack of a sense of value, control, and resources, and shame, internalized message of lack of worth. And that's fundamentally where depression comes from. Now, of course, a lot of experts would have us accept that the thing without antidepressants. depression is a very natural thing. Of course, they happen to be selling the pills. It's a multi-billion-dollar a year industry, and so they see it that way. It's a disease. You need to be on the pill, and then you'll be okay. And here's even a better reason to be on the pill.
This yet half those pills, I noticed that in the disclaimers they say may cause suicide, sudden death or suicide,
yeah,
and all the disclaimers on half those antidepressants. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, because those medications are toying with your brain, and the thing is, the thing about the brain when they start to do, you don't know what's in there, you don't know what's in the person's mind. Mm-hmm. It's like putting something into a mathematical function to get a result, but you don't know what the function does.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's all individual too.
Yeah, and yeah, there are so many variables. Mm-hmm. And then another thing is that, you know, a genetic link. Is there a genetic link? Well, there's never been any evidence of genetic link. Any research that's been said to point toward a genetic link always argues more strongly for nurture than nature.
Mm-hmm. Although it does seem to be, I gotta say it, contagious, but the suicide sometimes fosters more suicide.
Yeah, and depression fosters more more
in other people.
Depression. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah. That's always a strange thing.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever so often when I am talking to clients that have deep, deep depression, there is suicide in their family of origin, or vice versa, in someone who's, you know, but that doesn't argue genetics.
Right.
What it does argue is, you know, people
nurture.
Who are depressed mm-hmm. raise children who are depressed,
right.
And people who are hopeless raise children who are hopeless.
Right.
So we, and as Christians, we should not, we cannot accept that something as pervasive as depression is a thing that God neither anticipated or addressed at the cross. And I see the danger of the church in some ways going that way. Heard people even talk about how, well, David was depressed, but he wasn't depressed if what you mean by depression is a disease, because David's cure for his discouragement, the Bible says, he encouraged his heart in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're not telling us to encourage our heart in the Lord. They're telling us to take this pill because it's
right.
a disease. So we're talking about, apples and oranges mm-hmm. here. We're not...
Well, so depression, some depression, sometimes a time of blues, is kind of part of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get rid of that.
Yeah, and my fear is that they are calling a disease any kind of a discouragement. And so there are more and more, you know, the use of antidepressants is also escalated. And so something else that correlates, though, with the escalation of diagnosis of depression and the rate of suicide is loss of belief in God. So we maybe could start there as a fundamental reason why suicide is escalating, loss of hope, loss of belief in God, that ultimate hope. Now, we've talked a little bit about the suicidal mindset, and just go over those again. Lack of ultimate hope. What is your hope? In what do you hope? Can your hope be taken away from you? Questions to ask yourself. that ultimate hope, Jean-Paul Sartre said, no point of reference has meaning without an ultimate point of reference. And so people have lost that ultimate point of reference. They may have things in their life that are meaningful, but they don't have that ultimate point of reference that pulls all those together, both the good and the bad. Even the disappointments have to make sense. The second one is that narrow egocentric reality. And then thirdly, of course, is isolation. You've known Christians who have committed suicide, and I think maybe many of the listeners have, and I've known a number. And I would just offer up a example of two men. I knew two Christian men who at one time began to harbor serious thoughts of suicide, not at the same time. But so one man in his story, he had a situation in his life, given up, hopeless, but he reached out to someone to pray for him. And this person was praying for him. It'd been ongoing. But it really wasn't accomplishing what this man thought it should. And he came to a place of thinking about depression, took his shotgun up into the woods, and he was really saying that he was really thinking about this. The shotgun was loaded. He knew just pull the trigger and it'll all be over. But the more he thought about it, there were thoughts of his wife, and he had a very young child that persuaded him just to kind of hold off a bit longer. And it just so happened that that afternoon or that evening was one of the nights this other person was praying for him. So he went on to that, and it just happened that in that particular prayer meeting that he had with this one other man, that something was said in that that completely changed his mind and reinforced for him the fact that God actually was in that prayer, actually was. So that was a ray of hope. Mm-hmm. The other man, his story is different. His children were older, for one thing, and so they were going through this adolescence when they're pulling away from parents. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he was going through this time of depression. The kids had pulled away. His relationship with his children were distant. So unlike the first man, where the first man was, he's thinking of a young child who depended upon him, this other man, the children were already distant from him. So he didn't have that. And his wife had been separated for a time. So he didn't have these relationships to pull him back from the brink. The isolation factor and the narrow egocentric view of reality, and also these relationships can encourage us in our hope. So if we talk about prevention of suicide, there are a lot of things that we can pay attention to in terms of prevention of suicide, but it's fundamentally these three things.
So you need to do the opposite of these things.
You need to do the opposite of these things. You need to develop. Now, this is for a person. We're primarily talking about adults here. Next week, we'll talk about teenagers, and so the parents play a role in caring for that. But a lot of times, these adults they're processing these things privately. They're not telling other people. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person out there that you have trouble with deep depression and suicidal thoughts, you need to develop a supportive network of healthy giving-receiving relationships. I say giving-receiving because not just relationships where people are caring for you, but at some point it's imperative that you have relationships where you're caring for others, because one of the things that's primary about this path to suicide is it becomes a narrow tunnel vision perspective. And when you're giving to other people—
gives you purpose.
It gives you purpose, and it breaks against that perspective. You hear other people's stories and their problems, and you realize that that reality is larger than your small perception. Identify a primary purpose beyond yourself. And a lot of times we say, well, you know, God and I have my devotion. But you need something beyond yourself that puts you in relationships again with people. And then finally— and I say finally, after I had already said that there are a lot of things you can look at and a lot of things you can do, but building your hope in God. And of course, we build our hope in God by getting to know God and trusting God in all of our situations. So really the thing that we need to realize, too, is that every situation that I go through in life is necessary. It's not some of the things that we go through are maybe extremely emotionally painful. And it's not that God has forgotten us, or that prayer isn't working, or that our faith isn't working, but that everything we go through is a necessary part of God bringing us from where we are to where we need to be. And God alone knows where we need to be. So we need to trust in God and hope in God, have that network of giving and receiving relationships and a purpose beyond ourselves. Those are a starting point. There are other things that you, of course, look at. We've talked about the inbox in a lot of our shows, where you look at where the pain's coming from and what do I do about that. So there are tools that I teach in the counseling too. But those are the three, I think, primary places to look.
So looking for these are signs that something's wrong, but also some of the things to address: the lack of ultimate hope, a narrow egocentric reality, and isolation. If those things are going on, then you got some trouble. And you need to address these things. If that sounds like you or someone you care about is going through something like that, people need help, and they go to Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 778-6169. offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and you'll find this show on the podcast there at BibleBasedCounselor.com, in fact.
Many other shows as well, and actually next week we will be doing kind of a part two to this show on looking at more specifically at teen suicide. Difficult subjects, but we tackle them all here on the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.